Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Straight into some of the WhatsApp messages we've got overnight about the menopause.
I am of that generation where girls were reared with the concept that all the suffering that is entailed in just being a woman was something you just had to put up with. All my life I experienced unbearably painful periods. I worked all my life and believe no mercy was shown, even when on a number of occasions I passed out at work due to pain, then given about 10 minutes or so to come around and then back to work. I had difficult enough pregnancies and long painful induced labours. When perimenopause arrived, I looked forward to the day of no more periods. Perimenopause was difficult enough. Heavy bleeds could come at any time. Cycles were all over the place. I wore long dark pants to work all the time, as without warning, bleeding would start. I found myself dealing with a customer on more than one occasion and feeling the blood flowing down my legs into my socks. And I had to just continue with work, waiting for a chance to get to a bathroom to try and freshen up as best I could. When bleeds finally stopped and menopause proper took over, the hot flushes were unbearable. Every 20 minutes or so, my head and face would literally boil up, and then the dripping sweat would start to pour down my face, chest and back. But the worst part of these for me was the feeling of weakness and thinking I would faint. The hot flushes are less intense now, but still occur a few times daily. Sleep is almost an alien concept now for me. I have not had a full night's sleep in 11 years. If I get 3 hours without waking, that's a good night. I am constantly in pain, especially in the mornings. Feet, knees, hips, back, shoulders, neck, arms. The pain eases as the day goes on, and I never associated this pain with menopause until listening to your show. I just put it down to getting older, and I'm only 59. The point of my long-winded message is that most of my life, the quality of my life, has been hampered by all that goes with just being a woman. And as I said, we were told by our mothers before us that it is the lot of women. Thanks again, Liveline. Now we know there is so much that can be done if we can find the right doctors and if employers could just cut us a little bit of slack.
Hi, Joe. I just want to say and advise, encourage women to keep going for help if they think they're in the menopause. It took me a long 9 years to get help, and at that point, my life was going down the pan. Doors have been closed to me by GPs. I've been asked if I wanted to kill myself, my two children outside the room. I couldn't understand that I knew what was wrong with me, but I couldn't get anyone to help. It's not good enough to say to women, it's probably the menopause. Get on with it. It's not good enough to say to women, I think you're having a psychiatric breakdown. I wasn't having a psychiatric breakdown. I was completely at the end of my tether with menopausal symptoms. I didn't need antidepressants. I needed HRT. And if there's even one woman, just one, that heard this message, if you can keep getting the fight to look and to insist there's something that can be done to help you, then it's worth it. It's worth it for you. It's worth it for your children. It's worth it for your marriage, your relationships. But you deserve to have a life after the menopause.
Hi, Joe. It's Paula here. I'm 52 and single, and I'm guardian to my now 18-year-old niece, whose mum, my dearest sister, Nuala, died in November 2018 of ovarian cancer. In June last year, I was diagnosed with estrogen receptive breast cancer and had injections, lumpectomy and radiotherapy sessions, 20 sessions. I'm on estrogen blockers now for another 4 years. so I can't take the HRT. When I was 45, 46, the menopause started, and at 47, I found I couldn't function well. The hot flashes, the night sweats, you know, they were the worst of it. And I was working, I was in business meetings in a very cold room with all men usually. And you feel like there's flames coming out of your head and maybe your upper lip is dripping with sweat. Is it's no fun. Also having to get off public transport, the Lewis at the bus to rip off your coat or jumper in the middle of December isn't great either, causing you to be late, et cetera, et cetera. Because my cancer is such a hormone receptive positive, I can't go back on HRT. I went on HRT when I was 47, and it was like all the other women are talking about, it was life changing. I had no real qualms about going on it, and I was just so grateful to my GP for prescribing it. But now, I suppose my oncologist is very reluctant, and I suppose my sister's history as well. So it is pretty risky for me to go on. So I just have to figure it out. I'm very fit cardiovascularly. I spin, I cycle, I do mindfulness, I do yoga every day, but now my body is too sore to even do yoga in the mornings. I sweat all night. I have multiple fans, cold cloths, everything at night. When people look at me, meet me, they think I look great and I'm in good form, but behind the scenes, it's very different. It's awful. Trying to explain to people all the multitude of things that are going on. And you just know that people don't understand, and they kind of get sick of hearing you feel as if you're being negative all the time. Thank you so much for all of the stuff that you've done on this in the last week, and for all your listeners who've called in and texted and written in and everything. It's just great to hear it being talked about.
Hello, Joe. I'm just making this recording and sending it in to you just about your programs over the last week. I'm really grateful that this subject has come, and that so many, that we're all talking about it. It's been a lonely place. I started the perimenopause at 47. I'm now 52. I took HRT for 3 months, and then had a fibroid in my breast, and my GP refused to give me HRT after that. So I've been managing up to now, and particularly during the lockdown last year, everything, for all those other women that spoke, you know, the tinnitus, the night sweats, the hot flushes, genuinely I thought I was losing my mind. But I made an appointment with my GP, and I'm going next Thursday, and there you go. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much, and all the listeners who left voice messages. More to come later on. 087-1843-709. You record a voice message and just send it to that number. You can also contact us on 1857-15815. You can email us at joe.rte.ie. 51551 is our text number. Wash your hands during the duration of the programme. And remember, you can write to us as well. I've got an envelope yesterday, joe.rte.ie, and it Dublin 4, and it arrived on our desk. So it's a very simple address as well. Okay, Lynn Toohey. Lynn, good afternoon. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear, yeah.
Brilliant.
In your contact, you say, Lynn, my youngest daughter is 6. She has never known me not menopausal. She has never experienced me at my best.
Yeah, that's right.
And what...
I had a surgical menopause at 31,
okay.
And my youngest baby was born 6 months before that.
Okay.
So, I said that to Lisa earlier. It's like she's never seen me at my best.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now thankfully, because it was a surgical menopause, it was preventative surgery.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to hit menopause the next day. I knew it was coming, so I was able to prepare, and I was spoken to afterwards about, shortly afterwards, nearly straight away, about HRT,
okay.
And I was put straight on HRT.
Yeah.
So it was a synthetic form of HRT, the tablet form, that has come up all the week and a half on the show.
Yeah.
And it's true, over the 6 years, I've been on different forms of that synthetic HRT. When they stopped working, And it's only recently, within the last 6 months, that I've heard and understood about body identical HRT.
Okay.
And had met with a consultant. My GP referred me to a consultant to speak to, because she didn't know. She wasn't versed on all this. So I went, and it was Deirdre Lundy who was my consultant. Absolute wonder woman. I think half of the, or most of the Irish women now have a girl crush here on Deirdre Lundy. She's super.
Okay. She's brilliant, yeah. She's brilliant.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
And how are you now, Lynn?
I'm good. I started on the body identical HRT in March, and it's going okay. It's like, now, obviously, with your hormones changing, there's going to be an adjustment period and stuff. But yeah, no, I'm feeling really, really positive, which is good.
And can I ask you about the surgery at 31?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have a family history of the BRCA2 mutation, which is, everyone has the BRCA2 gene, but this mutation stops it working, basically. So I had an increased risk of breast cancer and ovarian cancer. So breast cancer by 80% and ovarian cancer by 40%, at least. So, so I was lucky that I was able to make the decision to have preventative surgery.
And that's why you at such a young age, the menopause began
decided
for you.
To go.
Okay, yeah, stay with us, Lynn. Lynn is on WhatsApp. Okay. Valerie, Claire Peel. Claire, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
How are you? You're your co-founder with Sally Ann Brady, who spoke to us last Wednesday week and ignited this conversation of the Irish Menopause Facebook. Tell us your own experience and why you, like Sally Ann, became so and are so evangelical about it.
I think it was just a case of two women who had the same experience. I mean, you've heard in the last week when women share their experiences, good things happen. And we both had a similarly terrible time, same symptoms. You've heard all about the symptoms in the last week. And we just wanted to have an information resource for women in Ireland to go to get the facts. I mean, that's how the group started. Somewhere where women could go. It's on two levels, really. It's an information resource that we chat to doctors, and there's videos, files, studies, reports, and, you know, women can really inform themselves about the menopause, about symptoms, about treatment, what might happen. But also, actually, what we found over the last week especially is that it's just one massive support community. It's been absolutely amazing. I mean, it's not just Irish anymore. We're international. And it's there 24 hours a day. I think that's important too. Yeah. When we're not there 24 hours a day. But, you know, insomnia is a huge, huge symptom
of
menopause. So if you're lonely, you know, you can't ring your doctor at midnight. And it's just, I mean, I had a dear, dear friend who took her own life because of her terrible anxiety. I mean, I was very lucky. I was able to pay, I'm in the UK, but I was able to pay, see a menopause specialist privately. Mm-hmm. We had both had the same symptoms, the same issues, but the anxiety just got her, you know, and we just became overwhelming, and she couldn't bear it anymore. And I, you know, once I got to know Sally Ann and we decided to start the group, we both thought, well, if we can stop one other woman, one, from going that way, I mean, you've heard about the suicide rates. I don't want to trigger anyone. It's really distressing. And menopause, there is help. There is help.
Yeah,
it's a positive thing.
It does, as Dr. Lundy said at the end of the 75 minutes on Wednesday when she was here in the studio, it does and will get better with this mobilisation of so many.
The thing
so many
is, I think it needs, you and people like us started it, and it's been absolutely amazing. We've had so many thousands of new members.
It's you and the women that started it. What, Claire? were you perimenopausal? How did you know what was happening to your body?
No, not at all. I was 42 and I had, my body just stopped working properly. You know, almost every system in my body wasn't working. And that's really frightening. Even if, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, it's really frightening. And all sorts of tests. And I had really the same experiences that you've heard of. You know, I was offered antidepressants. I was offered counselling. I wasn't depressed. I just remember begging my doctor saying, I'm not depressed. I don't need antidepressants. They have their place in mental illness. And, but I knew, like a lot of the other women. And again, we're not, you know, I think what we would love to see, what we would love to come from this enormous conversation is that other people in power, politicians, other communities, the health service, they now take up this cause at the highest level, but also women within their families. We all need to talk about it.
It's so true. So true. Really is. And again, I'm trying to encourage. I know people might be able to listen to Liveline during the week, but if you can listen back, and especially, well, every day I think is very important. But Dr. Deirdre Lundy's 75-minute contribution on Wednesday was just so packed full of information.
It's wonderful. We also have communities that have joined. This is important too. The communities that have joined the group that don't have a voice anywhere else. Women who are of a particular faith, who really don't feel confident enough to speak to their families or their doctors. In some faiths, in some religions, some nationalities, there isn't even a word for menopause. So that's really frightening. They can come to a private Facebook group and speak. We can ask, you know, we often put questions onto the forum anonymously so that women can get support. We have women in all different communities. We have women who have chronic illness. We have women who have special needs. We have older women in care homes or nursing homes who have symptoms, who are older and have symptoms of the menopause, like bladder issues. You know, if the nurses in the care homes are aware, they can help their patients. We have quite a few nurses in the group, actually. They've been amazing. And their awareness means that their patients have a better quality of life.
Let me get, we mentioned Deirdre Lundy again. This is the audio of it. It's on Twitter at Joe Liveline, at RTE Liveline, at RTE, etc., and all our platforms. But this is the audio of what Dr. Deirdre Lundy did for us after the programme. She just wanted to have a go at smashing a few myths about menopause.
There are a lot of strange things said and talked about with regard to HRT, and some of them are completely ridiculous. So myth number one, HRT will give you breast cancer. That is absolutely not true. HRT will not take healthy breast tissue and turn it into cancerous breast tissue. It is not breast tissue. It is not oncogenic. It doesn't work like that. But if you are unfortunate enough to be one of the few women for whom breast cancer is in the future, and sadly 23 out of 1,000 of us between 50 and 60, that is our risk, HRT can sometimes promote the development of those cells. So the cells didn't originate because of the hormones, but they might grow a little faster in the presence of the hormones. Funny enough, they tend to be diagnosed quicker as a result of that. And a few studies have shown that the chances of dying from breast cancer are actually lower when your breast cancer is diagnosed while you're taking HRT. Another really frustrating myth that is doing the rounds for the last 30 years is that you need to have your periods finished before menopause can start, and that is absolutely not true. And that's where the sort of we've coined the term perimenopause. So menopause is a Greek word. It means the last day of the last period a woman will ever get. And it generally happens around 50, 52. But the symptoms of the beginning of the change, which is the perimenopause, can start 5 to 10 years before your last period. It's not uncommon for women to come into our surgery and still be getting very regular menstrual cycles with classic menopause symptoms. And just because you're still bleeding, even sporadically, doesn't mean you can't be in the menopause. It's even more difficult for you because you could still get pregnant. So sometimes HRT can promote your fertility. So even more important that you use both contraception and HRT. I've often heard it said that why would you bother with HRT? All it does is give you relief now. Sure, inevitably you'll have to come off of it, and when you do, your symptoms will be as bad as they ever were, and that is entirely not true. The process of the menopause takes about 10 to 12 years, and basically what happens is the hormones that are produced by the ovaries initially start to become sporadic in their release, and then they gradually decline. So by the time you're in your middle 60s, you have less estrogen in your blood than a teenage boy. So that's a very hard journey to make. And what happens with HRT is we don't put huge volumes of hormone into your blood. We just kind of supplement them so that there's not too many jumps. And then what we do is over the years, we gradually reduce the dose so that if you do decide to come off HRT, and you don't have to, but say you want to, and you do it nice and gradually over, say, the course of 3 months, 4 months, you should not get a bounce back, a rebound of your symptoms.
That's Dr. Deirdre Lundy. Valerie O'Connor is in Limerick. Valerie, good afternoon.
Nice to talk to you, Joe, and congratulations and thank you for doing this.
It's our job here. You say, and thank you. You described your menopause to other people as having a breakdown.
That's right. Now, I had an underlying condition, Hashimoto's, which is a thyroid, underactive thyroid condition. So I thought this was being caused by that, even though I'd been on the thyroid medication for years. I thought, well, why would it suddenly change? Now, things happened in my life. My son, about a year before, was diagnosed with a serious illness. But yet I knew in myself that that wasn't causing this. The main thing that started to happen first was that I couldn't fall asleep.
Okay.
Now, when I say I couldn't fall asleep, I couldn't fall asleep at all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that will drive anybody crazy, right? So I was going to my doctor. Now, she did say at some point you might be menopausal, but because I didn't know anything about menopause, I think I was like 46 at the time, I thought, no, don't be ridiculous. That's not true. Then she said, oh, you're depressed because of your son. And I'm like, no, I don't think it's that. So she did offer me, I think, some of the women have been talking about it, Femiston or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, it just didn't suit me. Within about 2 or 3 weeks, I just felt like my body wasn't mine. You have a period all the time. Mm. So that was horrible. So I came off that. My sleep wasn't improving. I was on antidepressants. I was given sleeping tablets. I was going to an acupuncturist nearly every day just to get me through the day, who was putting needles. Now, he's great at what he does. He was putting needles into my head.
Mm.
And connecting it up to an electrical current to try and stimulate, you know, the front parts of my brain.
Mm.
He told me that I was one of the worst cases of depression he'd ever seen. But, you know, I was still at home with my two sons trying to keep my stuff together. But then basically one night, I think I had taken 2, 3, maybe going into sleeping tablet number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started having something like a seizure. And my youngest son had to call an ambulance for me, my 18-year-old.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the ambulance. I was so happy because I felt finally someone is listening to me. But I was put in a room on my own in the regional. And the man came to talk to me and so-called analyzed me and just told me I was too hard on myself and gave me emergency kind of sedative medication, which you'd just be like a vegetable on it. And, you know, I suppose, little by little, it kept going. And I'm very into alternative therapies and healthy eating, and everybody who knew me was so surprised to hear, my God, Val, you know, this isn't you.
Yeah.
And it was like I was just a completely different person. So I have never heard the words bioidentical hormones from my GP. And I was on the patches for a little while, and then in COVID, in last year, there was a shortage of them. You couldn't get them, so I came off it. Because there wasn't anything. So, and coincidentally, I had just been at my GP last week and I was asking her about testosterone because, of course, women need that too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was met, and she's a lady doctor, and I was met with her. I know. And I'm like, you know, it's just not good enough.
Mm-hmm. And when was when was the word menopause first mentioned?
A very nice Indian doctor. She said it to me, you're menopausal. I went to her as one of, you know, she did these vitamin C infusions. Look, I was doing anything. I would have eaten shoe leather if she told me it was going to make me feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
he was the first person who mentioned the word menopause, and a good friend of mine as well.
Yeah, but when you took too many sleeping tablets and you were rushed to hospital, you described your symptoms, was it mentioned then?
No.
It was just,
even though I was a 47, 48-year-old woman with so many symptoms, nobody even asked me about it. So, I mean, it's like, how are we supposed to know that this is going on if it's not even in our culture to have conversations around menopause? To talk about menopause is shameful.
Yeah.
You know, older women would talk about women who went on HRT as if it was some kind of failure. That you should just get on with it. And, you know, to just not know what's happening in your own body at all and think that you're completely, excuse my language, crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not okay. I mean, I actually thought that I had a mental breakdown. And then you have all the stigma that comes with that for yourself and, you know, what you think you are and what other people might think you are. But, of course, I mean, well, everybody knows now. It's not something I went around, you know, putting on a banner, but we have to talk about these things.
Yeah. Stay with us, Valerie. Izumi Cullen. Izumi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
When did the menopause start for you, or the perimenopause that we're now talking about?
To be honest, I didn't know I was in perimenopause because nobody told me. But I would say I was about 45, 46.
Okay.
A bit like a previous caller, I wasn't feeling well. I was working in an international company, managing big team, working alongside with the males. You know, very stressful, you know, very challenging every day. And then I have 4 children. So I struggled through, you know, running the home and going to work. And then gradually I noticed I'm not myself. And I went to my GP. And the GP gave me a vitamin B injection to see if that would help me, but that didn't. And then about a year, maybe 2 years or so, I tried different kinds of antidepressant. And then it got worse and worse. And couldn't sleep during the night. I have a nearly panic attack during the night. So went back to the GP. Then GP gave me tranquilizers and sleeping pills. Then I became hugely dependent on them. I couldn't even, you know, sleep without them. I couldn't talk to anybody without them. I was very withdrawn. And the relationship with my husband was terrible. Everything he did, I didn't like it. And he felt helpless. And then suicidal thought just creeped in. Every time I drive, I was looking at the wall, thinking to crashing. Driving around the bypass motorway, thinking to fly off the bridge. And then eventually I started to pile up the medication. I lied to everybody. I lost them and then piled them up. Go to pharmacy, get extra one.
Yeah.
They stocked up God knows how many sleeping pills and tranquilizers. And then one day, one night, I woke up during the night. That's all I remember. I took as many as I can that night. Thank God my husband noticed something isn't all right with me. He rang the ambulance. I have no recollection whatsoever. A few days later, I woke up in the St. Patrick's Mental Hospital. I was there for 3 months, private care. I think it was costing around €7,000 per week for me to stay there.
Yeah.
Nobody mentioned to me about perimenopause.
Izumi, stay with us because I want to get a better line. I need a better phone line, and
we'll
it's such an important story, as they all are, and we'll get it after this break. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul, with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Dear Joe, I am 52 years of age and sometimes I feel as if I'm nothing. I'm just existing. My marriage is suffering in a sense that my husband does not sleep in the same bed anymore. I've had thoughts I'm better off not being here. My mind is in my garden to keep me sane. I work in a job where customers walk out happy with me helping them. I watch them going out, wishing someone would make me feel so happy. I hate sex. Since going through all this, Joe, listening to your show has helped me through the last few days. I wake up, I go to work, I come home, hope that the weather is okay for me to just be in my happy place, my garden. My husband is an amazing man and would walk to the moon and back for me. I'm sad, I'm lonely, and I'm really scared of what goes through my mind sometimes.
Stephanie Regan is a psychotherapist. And contacted Stephanie. Good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Oh, good. Thanks. You're listening to
a lot of
the stories we're getting.
Extraordinary. Extraordinary. I have to say, my own person, just a personal reaction, is I've been listening throughout the week, and I've always been very aware, being a mature woman myself, and having gone through the menopause, just at that level, that the beginning, especially the perimenopause, it is such a lonely, lonely journey. And people don't know what's wrong with them. I didn't know what was wrong with me either. And this program has just really opened this up to such, so that people can speak, get the answers, find out, not be confused, not be on your own, not wake up at night and feel you're going mad. This, it's emotional listening to it. Fabulous, just fabulous.
And would you be conscious in your professional role, Stephanie, when people come in to see you, would you be conscious of the menopause? And it's
hugely simple? So.
Okay.
Now, I think, and that's informed very much, by my training, but obviously more by also my personal experience, you know, I was very aware that you would go to the doctor, and, you know, the doctors would generally have said even to me, you know, take whatever you think works, you know, and I thought, well, that's not, you know, I'm not the doctor. I don't know what works. So I've really carried that understanding and that confusion into my own understanding of what's going on. So when people come, you know, into therapy and come for help and support with things, often anxiety is part of it. You know, it might be anxiety, sleeplessness, things like that. So there's obviously a mix of symptoms that can, so it can be mixed in with other things, very like one or two of your ladies there were explaining. You know, you can be sleepless, you can be anxious, and there may be a mix. I think it was Valerie who mentioned there earlier that there'd been some issue over her son, for example, in the previous year. Mm-hmm. So there was a kind of feeling of, oh, so somebody might relate that to that. But, I mean, the whole thing about a clinical picture is that it is your job to try and discern what is, you know, what do these symptoms relate to? Do they overlap with other issues, or do they not? So I would always factor in for really any woman from sort of 43, even, you know, less, 40, 50s, I'd always think along those lines. I'd always have that within the grid of what I'm listening to. And especially, like, right at the moment, I'm with a lovely woman, and it's undoubtedly menopause, and I actually referred her back to your program to listen. I said, you must listen because you'll hear it. And, you know, she'd gone back to her doctor. I'd asked her to go back, and the doctor had given her blood test and said, no, you're not in it. I said, sorry, that's wrong. You know, that is wrong. You need to go back again. Listen into the program. Listen into Dr. Lundy. It's not always showing up. This is perimenopause. Yeah, that's where you are. So that's the confusion that's out there for people. And doctors don't pick it up all the time, and they offer the antidepressants, but it's not necessarily the right thing. And certainly I do a lot of that in my work, and I would support women to get the right answers, and not for me to start ascribing it, if you like, to the wrong thing. And that's the problem.
Okay, say with us, Stephanie. Izumi, Cullen is back. Izumi contacted us, led a big team in a very busy IT company for 2 decades. But the last 4 years of her career were so difficult. Didn't know what was happening to her body, was given antidepressants, tranquilizers, sleeping pills. Anxiety turned into panic attacks. You then, when the phone line went there, I assume you were saying you woke up after you tried to die by suicide. You woke up in St. Patrick's Mental Hospital in Dublin, and what treatment was there? When was the menopause mentioned, if ever?
Never been mentioned throughout my hospitalisation. I came out of the hospital, went through private consultation, went back to my GP, same medications. I carried on like that, but I wasn't right at all. And then just happened to talk to my friend who introduced me to Irish Menopause Facebook page last year, and then was reading all the other women's experiences. Then realized that I'm going through the same.
Yeah.
So I had a Zoom consultation with Sally Ann, who initiated this. And then she was very, very good listening to my problems. And she recommended me to talk to my GPs about the HRT. When I rang my GP, he didn't know anything about menopause. He said to me, he trusts whatever the advice was given from Sally Ann. He's prescribed me the HRTs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on this medication only for 3 months, but now I'm like a different woman. I'm sleeping well.
Yeah.
I'm walking my dogs. I'm happy with the children. But all this happened just recently. My marriage broke 2 years ago because of my illness.
Yeah.
I treated my ex-husband badly. And I'm starting to think that I won't apologize him.
Okay.
I wasn't me. Now, you know, I don't think we would get back together, but we can move on forward because I'm not that difficult woman anymore. I can think through. So it's great that the...
I assume, do you believe all the medication that you were put on, antidepressants, sleeping pills, et cetera, et cetera, you now that you feel HRT is working, do you believe all those previous medications were a mistake?
Mistake. I 100% believe I was given those mistakes to suppress the symptom, you know.
Okay.
But root cause was my hormone imbalance.
Yeah,
that's all it was, So I think there are loads of women out there being treated a similar way, not knowing that the simple hormone replacement will get you back on track. So I think this week has been phenomenal that you are talking about this and giving us opportunity to share our stories.
Mm-hmm. And I assume you referenced there, I think I should apologize to my husband.
Yes, because I don't know, maybe, how to explain, anything he did was wrong for me because my brain just couldn't correspond. And then the hatred and anger that I had in me was incredible. I think he got really, wrong end of it.
Okay.
Yes.
Valerie, come back in. That's Valerie O'Connor in Limerick. You want to come back in. Stay with us, Izumi. Go ahead, Valerie.
Yeah, Joe, if you're lucky enough and you can afford to pay, and I'm not, the issue isn't around spot work, but finally something that really worked for me was a really good reflexologist. And there are people working out there who work in that area, particularly for hormonal balance.
Okay.
And only since, I would say, the last few months, I actually feel like I used to feel before. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm still open to the idea and investigating going on HRT.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate, I suppose, that we have to try so hard to find the thing that works for us, and not everybody... I'm not a rich person. Not everybody has money for alternative therapy.
Absolutely. Just want to go back to Stephanie, having listened to Izumi, and Izumi going back to her GP saying, "I need HRT." And it was Stephanie. Is there? And I know, and GPs are brilliant, and always have been astonishingly brilliant publicly and privately in the last 15 months. And so many of them now, rightly so, are household names and experts. But would there be a resistance among, as far as you know? I know you're not a medic, you're a psychotherapist. But would there be a resistance to women almost second guessing their GP?
I think even professionally, we all have to be careful. Yeah, you go to your GP for the, for the advice. It's kind of, people are very happy to get an answer, and And there's also, I think, all a denial in ourselves about what's really going on because we don't know. And you can hear that in all the women telling their story. They're sleepless. They're irritable. Izumi there explaining how sad and how lonely she was and how relationships with her husband were so bad. I mean, this extreme kind of PMT and tension that women feel is the cause of loads of problems in relationships and with, you know, in the home. And then you go to your doctor and he gives you an antidepressant, and sometimes women are happy, you know, for that because it's a start and maybe that's what's going on. So they go down that road for a while, but maybe that's not then the answer. So I feel there, it's not so much second-guessing. I think it is sometimes a complex clinical picture. I think you have to be fair there. That a lot of these symptoms overlap with other kinds of presentations.
Okay,
you do have to be careful there. So, and I would be careful along those lines, you know, but it's still possible to discern. Now, I would, for example, if someone comes to me and they're describing anxiety and they're describing not being able to sleep, one of the first things that we would I would think about is, well, is there a stress factor going on here?
Mm-hmm.
But if you work through the history, you see that when you talk it out, there isn't a stress factor. Well, that leads you then to physical factors. Are there physical factors going on here? And so there is a kind of, like, we all have kind of templates and grids that we kind of professionally, that we look through to kind of think about what might be going on. And I do think that doctors are a little bit slow to take this holistic look at women and there is a resistance, of course, to the HRT, which has been, you know, has got such terrible press since that terrible survey, which we now know was largely irrelevant.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
20 years ago, but it's still constantly spoken of. Still constantly, women are advised, keep off that, don't, you know.
And when women, and Stephanie, as you know, when a woman hears the two words breast cancer, it is panic.
It's people,
but it's the two words they don't want to hear. I know the vast majority of women recover from breast cancer, but for a medic to say to them, HRT, breast cancer, you're out the door. You won't go near HRT.
Yes, and of course, if you've any of it around you, and who of us doesn't know someone who's had breast cancer in their family or otherwise? So it's that is a frightening kind of thought for women. I think women, you know, what you've done here and women feeling they can talk about it, I think doctors will be a little more alert to it. And I think it's surprising we have to go that route, but maybe I think we have to accept also it's just culturally we're kind of learning to open up more fully about it and be able to speak the truth of where we are. And, I mean, how long has it taken people to be able to speak about their emotional selves? Mm-hmm. We are on a very big journey here, and in terms of kind of mental health and well-being. And I think this menopause, you know, contribution is just a huge part of that. We're happy now to talk, and we have to become, as professionals and family members and, of course, policymakers, willing to listen and to change policy. I think workplace policy is an area where this can really shift.
Fairly quickly in the new world we're living in terms of Zoom and contact and staff all been linked together and through
so
whatever,
accessible.
WhatsApp, Zoom, Skype, etc. Stephanie, stay with us if you can, please. Stephanie Regan, psychotherapist. Dave, good afternoon. Your point, please, and your experience, unfortunately, and more so your wife's.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joe. I texted your show just to thank you and on all your researchers and participants for, you know, addressing the elephant in the room. Insofar as my poor wife has had an awful experience wherein she's just been fobbed off by medics in the past. But she now has the courage and conviction to go to a new GP and get this affliction, as he describes it, into some sort of context and try and return to a normal way of life, if you will.
And when you say fobbed off, Dave, what does that mean?
She was told that essentially she was too young, that she didn't display the proper symptoms, and to sort of go away with herself, you know.
And you're telling me she was, what, around
46 to 48 at that time, yeah.
And she was told she was too young to have the menopause?
Yep. Yeah.
Even though she had symptoms?
Yes.
Okay, and what do you see? She's now going to change GP. Is that easy?
It's a bit difficult just now.
Yeah, of course.
The COVID situation, you understand. But she does have, she's actually going to go to a GP that I attend myself.
Okay.
And
and she wants
she has the confidence to do it now.
Yeah, and she wants the, she wants all the options on the table.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
But I don't think that would have happened, Joe, if she hadn't heard what you know.
The other women.
No.
Yeah. Okay, and
so
you
she's
also
got that. It's given her that sort of, you know, steel to go and do.
Yeah, and as you, you begin your text there saying we're empty nesters, and that's that was a point made so strongly yesterday by number one about loss. You come to a stage in your life where 50 children might be gone. Your period's finished, you feel there's a new life ahead with you and your partner or whatever.
Yep.
New, maybe because the children are gone, you might have a few more bob available, and then suddenly you're hit with the menopause.
And it's not a pleasant experience, Joe. Let me tell you, it's very, very uncomfortable for, and it's not nice to look at and to see, you know.
Okay, Dave, thanks indeed. Dave, thank you so much. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Hi, Joe. I was listening to one of your callers yesterday. She was speaking about difficulties with intercourse and menopausal symptoms. So I just thought I'd add my little story. Unlike her, I still have a wonderful and very patient husband, but he hasn't had an easy life with me. From the very start of our marriage, which is over 50 years ago, I found intercourse very difficult. And there was no one to talk to about things in those days. I mean, the subject would have been absolutely taboo. I went on to have 5 children. There was no contraception then. They were very long labours, and the births were all with either forceps or episiotomies, and we had no choice in that either. I was so scarred then and now that intercourse became even more difficult. In my 50s, I had pre-cancer cells and was told I had to have a hysterectomy, that that was essential, including the removal of my ovaries. I was never told, though, it would remove my libido as well. I hoped at least I would be finished with menopausal symptoms, but they actually became worse, and including daily migraines, where I used to have them only twice monthly, and my sweats were about 10 or 12 a day at the time. But I'm now 80 years old and I still have horrible sweats daily, despite being on HRT patches, which do reduce the frequency during the day. I was refused tablets on the basis of possible breast cancer. And like another caller, I offered to write a letter exonerating a doctor who would give me these tablets should I ever get breast cancer, but that was refused as well. Now, the worst sweats, however, are my night ones. Not every night, I must add, but I have to then change the sheets and the pyjamas, by which time my body has totally cooled down and I'm frozen and have to attempt to get to sleep again. And I recently heard of a lady of 94 years who's still having sweats. So, hey-ho. I guess I'll be living with these sweats for the rest of my life. Thank you very much for your great show, Joe. I didn't want to come on air, but maybe you would be interested in sharing this with your listeners. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm 43 now, but for the last 2 to 3 years, I thought I was going insane to the point where I'm getting extreme dark days. Now, I have a long-term illness and I was putting it down to that. But listening to the women and all their symptoms, I think I know. I'm perimenopausal, which I never knew even existed. And now I know what to say when I go to the doctor, that it just won't be my long-term illness, you know, and then I'd be given steroids.
Hi, Joe. I want to give you my 2 pence worth for what it's worth. In January 2019, I started my dream job. At around the same time, I started experiencing health problems such as anxiety, pains in my joints, hot flushes, horrendous night sweats, and insomnia and brain fog. I found it more and more difficult to perform my job as I was constantly tired and totally unable to concentrate and learn the new aspects of the job. I would fall asleep at meetings and at my desk. I was on probation for the first year, during which I exceeded the maximum of 7 days sick leave, which meant I lost my job and I haven't worked since. My GP put me on antidepressants and sleeping tablets, but HRT was never discussed. I actually started on HRT about a year ago now, and through trial and error, I finally found one that suits me, which I started on about 2 months ago. My symptoms have greatly been relieved. I no longer have the night sweats or the insomnia or the pain joints. I firmly believe if I had this while I was working, I would have been able to perform my work properly. It wasn't until I heard Liveline last week that I realised all my symptoms were down to the menopause.
Okay. And again, that number for your voice messages over the weekend, if you wish, on WhatsApp is 0871843709. June, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe, how are you?
Good, thanks. You're here in your opening line. I'm 52 and I'm perimenopausal. Did you know what was happening to you last year when it started?
Not at all. I would have considered myself a fairly intelligent person, but menopause tried to prove me differently. Okay. My understanding of it was no periods and hot flushes.
Yeah.
Full stop. How naive was I when I look back now? Looking back, if I was armed with the information that I have now, I probably hit perimenopause about 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
But last year, it just hit me like a bus. I was putting it down to COVID and everything around it. The low mood, depression, anxiety, no sleep. I knew there was something wrong, but I just couldn't put my finger on it. I thought there was something seriously wrong with me. So eventually, I said to my husband, I think I'm going to go to the doctor. And he said, I think it's the menopause. And he said, I said that to you. And of course, I denied it because I had periods and there was no hot flushes. So before going to the GP, I wanted to arm myself with a bit of information about it because I knew nothing about it at all.
Okay.
So that's when I started to look for information, and it was consumed morning, noon and night now I was looking at information. And I know you did mention over the last couple of days, Louise Newson, her website's amazing. An Irish girl, Catherine O'Keefe, on Instagram, she was really helpful too. And then Sally's page was great. Yeah. So armed with information then, I went to the GP. And I was a little bit reluctant to go on HRT because of all the horror stories that I'd heard. But I was really lucky with the experience with the GP. She was really proactive and she offered me HRT. So initially I was dubious about it. So she said to me, do you want to go on antidepressants? And the words were barely out of her mouth and I said no.
Yeah.
So I did more research on the HRT and I started beginning of March. So like it's still early days, but there is improvements.
Okay.
But I suppose the reason that I came on initially was to highlight the lack of awareness and support, that there was nothing available. Like, this is a taboo subject. And I know yesterday a lady said there's 50% of the population, but in fairness, she's right. It's 100% because it affects everybody, man, woman and child. And there's just no support or lack of awareness. It's unreal.
And that's a point addressed very strongly in Alison O'Connor's column in the Irish Examiner today. A powerful piece, a half page, but just one on pursuant to what you've just said, June, about information. My final thought goes to the friend who had surgery in recent weeks. She is now minus her womb, cervix and ovaries. Upon discharge from hospital, she had to request a prescription for HRT. There was mild surprise in response to her request, but a script was written. Recovering well, she's looking forward to seeing her gynaecologist shortly. She has a question for him. She's going to ask him how men might feel after having both testicles removed to leave hospital without as much as a leaflet explaining what to expect, never mind a prescription. I look forward to hearing his answer. Now, there is a Women's Health Task Force was set up in September 2019, and it was mentioned by the Taoiseach and indeed the Minister of Health when the issue of the menopause and these discussions over the last days were raised at the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meeting. Now, the only thing I'd say is I googled the word menopause in government publications this morning and got zero returns. I googled the word disadvantage and got, I think, 30 hits. And I'm just going back at the press statement issued at the time of the launch of the Women's Health Task Force. The task force will also examine a range of issues impacting women's health outcomes in Ireland and to work on a phased and prioritised basis. Topics under consideration include, and the low voice is mine, disadvantage and its impact on health outcomes for women. You could also apply that to men. Women's cardiac health, you could also apply that to men. Women's physical activity, you could also apply that to men. And well-being, men. Women's neurological health, also apply that to men. Particularly in later life, also apply that to men. Women's mental health, also apply that to men. Maternal health, you can't. And others. No mention of menopause. The one thing that every single woman in this country is going to go through. Every single woman, they would go through it because they are a woman. And that's the point of the conversation at the minute. I'm going to take a break and then another letter after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Joe Duffy! Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Dear husband, when we met all those years ago, you made me feel so special. I was no beauty, but I was beautiful in your eyes. You loved me tenderly with all your heart, and I loved you with all my heart. We brought wonderful new little lives into this world, and together we guided them to mature, confident adults. There were ups and downs, but there was always time to rekindle our love and our mutual passion for each other. And then along came the menopause, our greatest challenge. I changed. I became more anxious, more frightened of aging, of being the barren owl one, the spotty one, the fat one, the wrinkled prune, the sweaty Betty, the irrational one, the teary one, the one with the aches and pains, the one hearing everything through a haze, the forgetful one. The list goes on. I craved your time, your attention, your reaffirmation of love for me, for us, for our relationship. We've always been open and honest with each other as we journeyed together through life. But in your misguided honesty, you told me that I'd put on weight. You told me I had a few spots. You told me I had a hairy chin. You told me I was overreacting. You told me my aches were in my head or down to my age. I was interrupting your sleep because I was up and down during the night. I was stupid because I'd forgotten our conversation about something or other. That was not the attention I craved nor deserved. Your words chipped away at my confidence and placed a mental barrier between us. It dampened my love for you. Our intimate moments were no longer. I believed I was no longer beautiful or desirable, and I couldn't bear you seeing this wretched body. But then, by chance, I found someone. I found someone who helped me see that my skin was soft and perfect. They helped me see I had a beautiful, curvy figure. They helped me put life back into my dull eyes. They helped me rebuild my confidence and appreciate my own beauty again. Yes, I found you. You gave me the courage to talk about my struggles, and you listened to how your comments had affected me and my confidence. Dear husband, this letter is to say thank you for listening when I came to you and really talked. Thank you for understanding, for always trying, for realising how cutting your misguided words were, and for changing and making me feel that I'm once again your love and beautiful in your eyes. Let's enjoy our time and finding each other once again. Let's vow to never rebuild any barriers. Let's always talk. Let's tell each other how we're feeling, always. And let's listen. Let's really listen. From your loving, crazy, confident menopausal wife.
I mentioned the Women's Health Initiative set up by the Minister of Health, Simon Harris, September 2019, and the statement at the time was, a nationwide radical listening exercise is currently underway to enable women across the country to share their views and experiences of the health sector and health services. Now, the first, based on the evidence and informed by women's voices, the task force chose four initial priorities within its action programme. Improve gynecological health, improve supports for menopause. Brilliant, brilliant. It came through in their radical listening exercise. Improve physical activity, improve mental health among women and girls. Alice Culbert. Alice, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
And your experience, Alice,
go on.
Now, what happened?
I think I was in my 40s, I think, and I remember I was at work. A mm-hmm. Fairly active woman, did all kinds of crazy stuff. And I was walking up the floor to my desk and I actually felt my midriff drop. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Jesus, what's that?
Yeah.
Sorry now for saying that. Mm. And after that, it was downhill. Just downhill. Suddenly, out of nowhere, I started to put weight on. I was a size 12, 14. I was heading for 18, 20, no matter how hard. I battered around with diets. I couldn't. Every time I went on a diet, I ended up worse. Mm. Before I knew it, I had a Kardashian bum. Then I had the Michelin out front. I didn't know who I was. I was an absolute nightmare. I got arthritis. Very bad now with it at the moment, but it started then. The knuckles started to bend. There's a history of heart disease in my family, but I got a belter of it. I ended up a couple of years later getting stents in my heart. And I just, like, the hairs of the moles on the face, the hairs on the face. I used to be laughing at myself because I knew there was absolutely nothing I could do to control any of this. Absolutely nothing. Couldn't take HRT. There was a massive cancer scare at the time. Yeah. I had one or two sisters had to be taken off it, you know, at the time. I had nine sisters. I have now seven. Mm. And all had terrible, and you can imagine the conversations around our tables when you could have a conversation. You know, we all had a hard time one way or the other.
Through the menopause.
The weight gain, you know, kind of lose it and then fighting to get it back, and then the heart disease and trying to stay fit. And, you know, it is so hard. And they'd give you all these alternatives. But to be honest with you, Joe, none of them worked. Mm-hmm. You know, if I could have taken HRT at the time, I'm sure it would have made a massive difference. But with all the underlying conditions that came with the menopause, you know, the sweaty Betty, as I heard there, I thought that was extremely funny, by the way. You know, up all night, and a lot of us are blessed to have husbands that understand that this is something that we have to go through.
But you don't have to go through without help. And again, I go back to Deirdre Lundy. Dr. Deirdre Lundy on Wednesday, and the nuanced approach she had in terms of people who have where doctors worry about cancer specifically, that she believes there is a nuance. Was this a blanket statement made because all the family had someone in the family had a history that none of you could be on HRT?
That's right, yeah. And obviously I can't talk about them, you know.
Yeah, I know, but I just...
I can only talk about myself, but it was because of that none of us could have it, and we've never been able to have it.
And was there much conversation around that with your medics?
Oh, yeah. At the time, I remember talking, you know, to the doctor, and the consensus was that do not prescribe it for people, because they were only discovering at that time.
Yeah, well, it's changed. Well, the consensus is much more nuanced now, as we heard from Dr. Lundy, much more nuanced. And
well, I would hope so,
Joe.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm 63 and I don't mind saying it, you know, that there would be some development surrounding that,
absolutely,
that they would have had something you can give women. Because to be honest with you, in this country, it's all under the rug. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about it. You know, and if you say, oh, I'm feeling like this today or I'm feeling like that today, oh, she has the menopause. And they're whispering it. And there's no regard for women. Do you know, at least I don't think there is. And there certainly wasn't going back when I was in my 40s and 50s in the worst time of it. Yeah. I didn't find there was any kind of regard, sympathy, empathy, you name it. Like, oh, for God's sake, what's wrong with her now? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was terrible. And I've no problem saying out loud that. No respect for the menopause whatsoever. It's not an established thing. It's treated like an illness. Well, it's not an illness. It's something that you're
going
through.
Every woman goes through, yeah, to a greater or lesser extent.
It's part of your life.
Yeah.
You have to trample through it. So you're going to be you'll end up like the Mitchell men. Some of them escape and they're lovely and skinny, and that's great for them. But the rest of us are pounding the pavement, you know?
Yeah.
When we can, like when we're not riddled with the arthritis from it, because that was one of the worst things that I got, the heart disease.
Stay with us, Albert Culbert's in Limerick. Martina, come in on this, please. You say when we talk about the change, you want change. Well, like so many women do mention over the last 2 weeks, but you want change in this whole discussion about menopause.
I do, Joe. Yeah. But I believe that, we've had loads of women coming on now speaking about their symptoms. And, you know, next week the topic will move on to something else.
Yeah.
So I think now, while it's fresh in everyone's mind, I think, and to avoid confusion, because we have women of all different ages, from people in their 30s to right up to their 80s, I think a step-by-step guide should be written as to what do you do. Like when you first present with symptoms, you go to your doctor, let's say you know that you're heading into the menopause, the doctor will say, sorry, I'm not giving you HRT. You know, what do you do then? Now we find out about...
Sorry for interrupting, but, you know, you go home and you try and face it on your own, because that's what happened with me. You know, I was out there, it was all herbal things, and anything that I could get my hands on that was, you know, good for you. I tried everything to the detriment of my tummy. And it just didn't work, because I find that there's no HRT available. So what is the doctor going to give you? You know, get out and walk, take exercise, watch your diet.
You put on too much weight. But Alice, that was how many years ago?
Well, now I'm 63, so I was in my 50s.
Yeah, 10, 13 years ago maybe.
You know, but I don't see much change in Joe.
Yeah.
You know, they're still telling him go home and lose weight.
Yeah, well, that's...
You know, they're still saying, you know, do this. And it's absolutely impossible. I can say that from experience.
Well, as again Deirdre Lundy said, there are 10, 12, 14 pounds immediately ascribable to the menopause. And there's nothing, unfortunately, you can do. She is, yeah. Dr. Deirdre Lundy was, yeah. And she's on the patches. She said that openly on the... Not openly, but she said it from the first thing she said on the programme. Martina, you're calling for what? First of all, a booklet or an information. The HSE information,
yes,
we're told, is 11 years old at this stage.
Yeah. No, actually, Joe, not... I think somebody like Dr. Lundy, you know, who seems to be an authority on it, somebody like that should... write a book, kind of a step-by-step guide. A booklet. And I think we'd all be willing to pay a small amount for this book. That's my opinion.
The COVID, the pandemic has proved many things. One is that the health service can turn around very quickly. It can get an information campaign together almost on a daily basis
and change it almost on a daily basis.
It can get a leaflet into every single home in the country, courtesy of and post, within a week. This all happened in the last 12 months or so. It can be done. Martina, you say you were put on antidepressants first.
Well, yeah, I was offered them, but I didn't take them because I didn't... Maybe a small amount of them maybe would be okay. Yeah. But like every other woman that's been on, it was the menopause.
The menopause, okay. And we know for depression, antidepressants do work for so many people. And don't stop on your antidepressants without consulting your GP. Stay with us. 51551, watch on.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Hi, Joe. I would just like to ask the question of what's next? We've heard all of the wonderful women's stories. We've heard how hard it is. We've heard the government coming out and supporting all these women and they're going to put policy in place. But what does that actually look like? What does that look like for every woman out there that's suffering, that's crying herself to sleep, who's trying to get muddled through our day? What does that look like? Why can't we have a public menopause clinic the same way we have our maternity? Why can't we have that? Why do women not deserve that at least? I've asked, and I really want to ask our government, Micheál Martin, coming out to say that he supports the petition that's on the Irish menopause and the listeners, and we will act on driving a progressive health policy for women's health. Show us, tell us, you know, give us somewhere to go to get the treatment we need. We don't need just an ear to be able to voice. We need action.
Audrey Hart. Audrey, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
26 when you had a hysterectomy.
Yes. Yeah. I had gynae problems through my teenage years. And then it came to when I was 26 to have a full hysterectomy. And back then, they didn't emphasise taking vitamin D and calcium, which is so important for your bones.
Yeah, of course.
And as the years went on, then I developed really bad osteoporosis.
Okay.
So you
went into the menopause at 26?
I did. Yeah. I did, yeah. Yeah, I'm now 48. And like my T score, my osteoporosis is -4.6, which would be the same as a person in their late 80s.
Okay.
Pain all day, every day. I mean, there's give 3 days out of every week where I wouldn't be able to leave the house because I get dressed, and next of all, my tops are wringing wet. Into the shower, get out of the shower, makes no difference. When I had treatment, I had IV treatment done in James's for the osteoporosis, and with that treatment, I was advised to come off the HRT because they were afraid in case my bones would actually become brittle.
But was the HRT making a difference before you came off it?
It was, it was.
And are you off it permanently now?
I am, yeah.
But you have the body of an 81-year-old in terms of bones.
Yes, okay. Yeah. I mean, I've broken my ankle by getting up off the couch last year.
Really, listen, if you can listen back to Dr. Lundy on Wednesday's programme, because she specifically addressed this whole thing of risk of HRT and benefits of HRT and the decision that you have to make. And I know you tell us your father died in November tomorrow is an important day. Is it for his sister?
It is. His ashes are being put into his twin sister's grave in Dublin, and I mean, I'm not going. I just can't go.
Okay. Audrey, thanks indeed. That's Audrey Hart. Tommy O'Sullivan was in sound. Maeve Mooney was a BCO. Shanna Gormer produced. Rebecca Meehan is the series producer. And Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.